You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. On Science Friday this hour, we're talking about next green chemistry, replacing environmentally harmful chemical processes with environmentally friendly ones. Green chemicals, cleaner chemical processes could mean fewer fuel pollutants, cleaner wastewater from industrial processes, pesticides stripped of their toxic byproducts, and even biowarfare agents rendered harmless. In fact, earlier this month at a meeting of the American Chemical Society, my next guest reported on a green method for decontaminating a substance similar to anthrax. So for the rest of the hour, we'll talk about the science and economics of sustainable chemistry for pollution reduction. And if you'd like to join our conversation, our number is 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. Let me introduce my guest, Terry Collins, director of the Institute for Green Oxidation Chemistry and a Thomas Lord Professor of Chemistry at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. He joins us today by phone. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Ira. How you doing?
Let's talk about this. This is, I think, probably a topic a lot of people have not heard about. Green chemistry. Is it substituting non-polluting chemical processes for polluting ones? Is that basically what it is?
Sort of. Green chemistry is really tied into the idea of building a sustainable civilization. The field has been growing quite rapidly in the last decade. It was originally introduced in the early 90s. It's really about this business of sustainability and in terms of establishing the technological dimension of a sustainable civilization, that turns out to be very largely a problem involving chemists. And there are three things that in this century chemists have to do if children in 2500 are to have a good life. One of those is to get safe energy, and that means we have to work on converting solar energy into electrical and chemical energy, get away from nuclear and fossilized carbon dependency. The second is that we need to get the materials that we bring into the economy to build all the products that we use every day from recently dead plant matter rather than fossilized plant matter. And the third is we really need to build a completely safe technology base. We're recognizing that it's always going to be striving toward perfection. We'll probably never get there. And this is where my group is focused. We really have set about and been working on for more than 20 years, getting technologies that can then carry out major processes in industry and other areas without producing deadly pollutants.
Give us an idea of some of those processes you're talking about.
Well, a very large area of chemistry is called oxidation chemistry, and this area is very reliant on heavy metals and chlorine based oxidizing agents, and the residuals tend to be bad, some of them extremely bad.
A Clorox would be sort of a oxidating.
Clorox is, but
yes.
Clorox is not too bad.
Right.
Among the various ones that are out there, Clorox is not too bad. Nature also has to allow us to function. Nature is practicing an enormous amount of oxidation chemistry, and it doesn't use chlorine or heavy metal compounds. It uses molecular oxygen and hydrogen peroxide with common metals to biochemistry, assisting in the process by a process called catalysis, by a medium called catalysis. And so our work has really been to design catalysts to activate the natural oxidants, oxygen and hydrogen peroxide, to do the things that we're currently doing with chemicals that give these residuals.
So you've developed something called a TAML,
right?
An activator. Is that the catalyst you're talking about?
Yes.
Tell us how that works. What it does.
Well, these are very small molecules compared to the catalysts that nature uses, the big enzymes. They're about 1% the size of the natural catalyst. And in the middle of the catalyst, there's an iron atom, just as there is in the molecules, the biomolecules that carry oxygen around your body, the much bigger things, and store it and use it in your body. And then around that iron atom is a collection of very small but very carefully designed groups called ligands, and it basically can think of like the iron is sitting in the middle of a cup, And the chemistry with the oxidizing agents, hydrogen peroxide, for example, goes on at that iron center. And we worked at building the cup, getting the cup right so that the chemistry of a small molecule catalyst could do what the natural catalyst, the much bigger things, do.
Now, you write in one of your papers that this TAMIL activator may be able to disable anthrax.
Yes. We are working with a non-infectious sporulating bacterium, Bacillus atrophius. It's very much like anthrax in its behavior, but it's not disease-causing. And what we found is that under very mild conditions with a very small amount of the catalyst and a little bit of hydrogen peroxide and a sprinkling of a few other things, that we can kill 99.997% of the spores that are in a waterborne solution in a relatively short time.
Wow. Could you clean up a building that was contaminated, like the ones in Washington, with anthrax?
I'm not sure about that. I'm somewhat skeptical, because you have to get into all of the air conditioning systems and all of the little nooks and crannies. You might be able to do it with misting, but certainly if you have anthrax coated things, like if it's the military, if you have anthrax on the outside of your tank, certainly we would be able to, I think, envision the technology working very well. If somebody dropped one of these things on your ship, you'd probably be able to get it. Certainly the outer surface is very clean. So it might be something that you'd use in combination with the chlorine dioxide gas that was used in the Hart building, for example.
Could you decontaminate soils that have heavy metals in them?
No, those metal ions are there for good. They're untouchable. They're indestructible.
Mm. So what other kinds of uses could you put this TAMIL activator to?
Well, the activators with hydrogen peroxide very rapidly destroy not metals but other kinds of pollutants, molecular pollutants. So, for example, pesticides, the very ones, in fact, that sometimes people use on their lawns here. Often the residuals get into, they go a long way away from the site that they're implied. We can get them, and we appear to be able to get them in the presence of soil, which is good news, certainly in water. And then very bad EPA priority pollutants, chlorinated phenols. We completely destroy those very quickly, and in the process we make no toxic residuals. We're always being very careful to check that we don't convert a toxic substance into another toxic substance, or perhaps even worse, into a more toxic substance. So there are just a very wide range of pollutants that in our laboratories we can destroy with remarkable facility that's never been found before, actually.
Well, we'll talk about them. Let me first give out the number, 1-800-989-8255, 1-800-989-TALK. Let's talk about the range of things that you could do. Could you sort of put this in a package and sell it as an all-purpose? We see all this orange cleaner thing on the market these days. Could you sell it sort of like an all-purpose cleaner for lots of different uses?
Yeah, people could do that. That would be one approach. Be some unusual formulating going on to do that, but it could be done. Another area where it turns out to be the very best way to stop dyes transferring from one fabric to another fabric in your laundry. So if you take common household laundry powder products and you put a very small amount of a TAMIL activator in there, you can wash your red dress and your white underwear, or your black dress and your white underwear, and you'll get back the white underwear. Right. That turns out to be pretty valuable, and a number of laundry companies are looking at that fairly seriously. And then there are just really a wide range of uses. The whole chem bio area, of course, being one that's really, really hot right now.
Well, we're talking with Terry Collins about his work with Green Technologies this hour on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. Tell us more about that, the chem bio area.
Let me diverse a little bit and talk about green chemistry. If that's okay, because
no, would love to.
Yeah, okay. The environment is really just starting to penetrate our civilization in the way that it needs to. We can do so much, chemists and other scientists, Given the right amount of backing, we can do so much to give the world a safe technology base. And people tend to think that green chemistry and sustainability-related search is often beating up on industry and chiding them for making pollutants and making them clean it up and all these kinds of things. It's not like that at all. It's like fabulous new economies. It's about ways to run a civilization where you don't cause pollution and where also people make a lot of money. We have to be very realistic. Unless people can have jobs and we can have profit and all the rest, at least the way we've built our civilization, these things are not going to work. Green chemistry is full of spectacular possibilities for cleaning the environment for the future and giving our species a safe, high-tech civilization.
But you have to convince people then that they should buy into green chemistry versus buying up their old chemicals that they've been using.
Yes, you do. And so long as the chemicals don't work as well or they cost more, and I really don't think it's realistic to expect that that's going to happen. The nice thing, for example, about Tamil activators is that the cost estimates that are being thrown around by various industries on them are very attractive, and the technical performance is so amazing that you really do get a much better product, and you get it without substantial added, and maybe even in some cases no added cost, because you can take other things out of the products and put that in.
So would it be fair to say that you're sort of mimicking what nature does naturally and trying to bring that into the world of synthetic chemical cleanup?
Yes, that's a very large area of chemistry, actually, and I would put our approach is a little twist on that. Mm-hmm. We certainly gaze at nature and speculate and wonder about them, because it is truly amazing the way the biomolecules that run us are actually working. But we recognize that nature's way of doing business is extraordinarily complicated, and that we need to make things that much more simple than that. And so actually we look at nature, we see the rules that it uses, and we postulate that there might be other rules that it's not using to try to get the systems that we've got working, and that has borne fruit, as it turns out.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. Do you need to have a different activator for each job, or customized to the nasty chemical you're trying to clean up, or is there...
Well, here's one example. Yeah. The textile industry has, a very large number of dyes, and every year worldwide, 53 billion gallons of dye-containing, basically polluted water, is produced by that industry, and they've got to do something with it.
Right.
And there really isn't any good cost-effective technology for getting rid of the dyes. So, depending on where you are, you might be beside a river that. Depending on which country you're in, that changes color regularly on a daily basis, or in this country, actually you might not see the color, but what will have happened is that the dyes have been stored for a while, and air will be blown through, and you'll get a black solid mess, and that gradually gets leaked into the rivers. Well, it turns out we can get and bleach all of those dyes, and in some cases, our bargain basement prototype Tamil activator will actually get probably something like 80-90% of them.
Wow.
And sometimes we have to pull out a more aggressive one to finish the tougher dyes off.
Terry Collins, we've run out of time. I want to thank you for joining us this hour, talking about your green machines there.
Thanks a lot.
Terry Collins, Director of the Institute for Green Oxidation Chemistry and the Thomas Lord Professor of Chemistry at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. This program is produced by Annette Heiss, Charles Berquist, Annalise Strachan, and senior producer Karen Vergoth. Charles Berquist is our director and web producer. If you would like to surf over to our website at sciencefriday.com, you can find any of the links we talk about. Also, Science Friday's Kids Connection is over there. We make free curricula for students and teachers. Also, you can go back in the archives and get old editions of Science Friday and listen to them on real audio, or subscribe and take them with you on audible.com. And you can also send us some email there if you'd like to surf over there. Have a great weekend. I'm Ira Flato in New York.